Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
We are starting, we're finishing a series, forgive me, called Bold Faith. Look at your neighbor, say bold. Faith. Okay, that was tough. All right, we're going to say bold. Oh my gosh, this is atrocious. One more time. Bold. Faith. In a world today that is problematic, that is chaotic, any other fancy multiple syllable word you can think of, problematic, we have a world that is progressively getting louder. Would you agree? You get on social media, you get on TikTok, you get on this, that, and whatever, you get on X, and people are shouting at you everything they think, feel, and believe. I'm angry. Why? I don't know. And they're just, it's a mess, right? People are crazy right now with their bold proclamations about what they believe. Now, here's the tricky part. Someone say, I'm separate. I'm separate. Yeah, no, that's so lame. I'm so sorry. Nobody even gets it. It's like I'm too old for that. I'm almost 30. Gosh. We are a separate people. The Bible tells me, tells you, tells us that you're actually holy. You're called to live differently. You know, I have a lot of different things at my house. I have a brush that I use to clean the tires of my car. I have a brush that I use for my long, luscious hair. It's amazing. God, I pray, Lord, right now, I just pray I never bald like my dad. Amen. It's a scary thing, guys. Once you get into your late 20s, you're just clinging to it. But I have a brush for my hair. I have a brush for cleaning my car tires. And then I have a toothbrush. Now, I don't mind sharing with you my car brush for cleaning my tires. Because if you have dirty tires, I'll let you share that. Now, I may, if your hair's not like gross or something, I'm just saying, I'll let you borrow my hairbrush. But let me tell you what, I will not let you borrow my toothbrush. I am married, guys. I have a wife, and I will not let her touch my toothbrush because that is for me and for me alone. Anybody sympathize with that? Anybody have siblings who are like, let me just borrow your toothbrush? Like, no. Like, get out of there. Like, we're not doing that. Parker raises his hand in the back. Hey, am I back? Oh, there you went. Whew, that was close. Now, you and I have to realize we're called to live like a toothbrush, set apart for one singular purpose. Your life is not meant to be shared with 10 different things. You're meant to live a holy, a sacred, a singular life. And that life requires you to be bold. Tonight, we are continuing the series on bold faith. And if you're taking notes, you can put the title of the message down. It's actually pretty good. What bold friends do. Are you taking notes? If you have a phone, pull it out. I don't care. Just don't be too obvious if you're on social media or something. I want you to have a good night no matter what. You taking notes? I love it. Thank you. What bold friends do. Now, as I was preparing for this message, we had a conversation. Me, Pastor Sebastian, who's actually not here, by the way, I should shout that out. He is at DC Connection. Our church has this big, we're a part of a big denomination. That's a lot of information. But he and his wife, Ari, are gone in DC, and they'll be back hopefully next week, right? Next week. Fantastic. Now, we were discussing this question, and I want maybe you can help me here. Do you need friends in order to be bold? Do you need community? Do you need people around you in order for you to be bold? I got a head shake. You said no? Okay, what do you think? No? You think you do? Okay, anybody else? Do we need friends to be bold? Man, it's so quiet. Maybe you need friends to be bold right now. Come on, speak. Do you need friends to be bold, Harper?
I think yes.
You think yes? Okay, Dusty, do you need friends to be bold? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the question we had. What happens if you don't have people around you and you need to be bold? Is it just like a hopeless situation? Okay, no. She said, yeah. That's honesty. I love it. Absolutely not. I'm going to break the ice here. You can be bold without community. I'm overemphasizing this. I'm kind of going slow on this because I do not want to get up here and preach a message about boldness and community and being with friends and all this, and you think that if you don't have somebody with you and you're in a pinch, you can't be bold. God makes you bold. Amen? God makes you bold. Think about David. He was alone taking on Goliath. All the people around him were like, we're too afraid, we can't do it. Ezekiel, the prophet, was a slave in captivity, and God pulled him apart and set him alone and used him. Daniel, the prophet also, he had three friends with him, but this king Nebuchadnezzar's like, hey, guess what? Taking your friends away from you. And Daniel was bold and powerful and strong amidst being completely alone as a slave in a foreign king's land. You can be bold without friends, but, someone say but, big old but, you guys are giggling because I said but, not B-U-T-T, but B-U-T, but it is infinitely easier to be bold when you have community around you. David may have killed Goliath by himself, but David also like conquered tons of different enemies with his right-hand man, Jonathan. Elijah the prophet may have taken out a ton of false prophets and bad teachers all in one fell swoop when fire's coming from the sky. It's an amazing story. 1 Kings chapter like 16 through 17 is really good. But he also had his running mate, Elisha, that he did life with. Tonight, I really want to give you, and this don't judge me here. I have 8 points. Usually the church requirement is to have 3 points. I thought I'm going to double that and then add 2. We are having 8 points tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. We're going to tell a quick story, and I'm going to go one by one through these 8 points. And the 8 points are simply this. It's not crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not crazy. They're descriptions of what godly, bold friends are, what they do. My encouragement is for you to look at this list and think, man, I want to find friends who look like that, and I want to be that friend. Simple enough? Oh God, I'll pray. Lord, help me, help them, help me, help them. Bless us, Lord. I pray that you would open the eyes of all of our hearts. That's going to come in later in the message. And God, I pray you bless us. Oh, Lord, I'm so hungry for you. I want to see you move. I want to see this group of people just filled with boldness and courage. They could step into any situation in life and just rock it, Lord. Lord, I pray you just speak so loudly tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so here's what I've learned in my life. All 28, almost 30 years old. Thank you, Vetter. 30-ish years of life. Dusty's in his 30s. He's in his 30s. He's almost 40, guys. He's really old, prehistoric. But what I've learned in my life, it's very simple. If you hang around bold people long enough, their boldness kind of rubs off on you. It's just really simple. If you hang around somebody who smells really, really bad and got that B.O., that B.O., you hang around them long enough, let me tell you, friend, you got that B.O. too. That's not good. If you hang around, if the Bible says it a little bit more eloquently like that, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. He who walks with the fool becomes, he who walks with bold people becomes, oh, you're getting it, man. This is so like quiet, like bold. It's like I'm giving you a plate of broccoli, like bold. Jeez, wake up, people. Let's have some fun. All right. Years ago, I was sitting in Starbucks, again, God's holy temple. That's where I like to make amazing things happen and just be there because it's fun. And I love white chocolate mochas. Anybody? White chocolate mochas? There we go, my man. Come on, let's get it. I was sitting there with my friend Andy. Andy used to take me out every single Sunday for a couple years, and he would just pour into me. Now, Andy is a little bit older than me. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not saying his age, but he's a little bit older than me. One day, I'm sitting. Oh, I don't want that to feedback. Oh, give me one sec. I am sitting inside of a Starbucks, and I'm just sitting there. He's sitting across me. We're talking, his phone, his keys, his water on the table, and Andy just gets up and sprints out the front door, leaving everything behind. And you're thinking, well, why did he do that, right? And I'm equally thinking, I'm okay, you know, here we are. I'm like 20 years old, 8 years ago. Gosh, that hurts. Hurts so bad. And I'm sitting there, right? And I'm thinking, okay, he can't leave. Like, he's not going to run home. Andy's fit, but he's not going to run home. So I sit there for what, 10, 15, 20 minutes later. I'm like, oh my gosh, hopefully he's okay. And then 20 minutes later, Andy strolls back in. And I'm like, Andy, dude, what the heck? Like, where did you go? Like, what happened? He's like, Matthew. Now, he's British. I'm not even going to try. I did it with Kimberly. And she's just like, yeah, you sound dumb. Don't try to talk British. So he said, Matthew, the Lord told me this morning in my time of prayer that I would encounter this lady who had a tattoo on her neck that looked very unique. and that she was going to actually take her life and that I should pray for her. And while we were talking, I looked to my side and I saw this woman walk out of Starbucks with the same tattoo I saw in my time of prayer. So I felt like I had to go. So I stood up, I sprinted outside, and while I was talking to her, she confessed that she was going to take her life later that day. So I ended up sharing Jesus with her, and she gave her life to Jesus, and she got freed from depression. So do you want more like Starbucks or something? Like, what do you want to do next? And I'm like, oh, right? And what would, okay, take a minute. We just heard a cool story, right? What did it do to you on the inside? Wow, right? Wow, that's so cool. And I remember as a young 20-year-old man, I was like, gosh, Andy, I want to learn that. Teach me that. It sparked a flame in me that's like, I got to learn how to do that. I want to be bold like that. I want to chase strangers out of Starbucks, pray for them, set them free, all in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want to do that, right? That's what tonight's about, learning how to walk with people who are bold and have their boldness rub off on you. Point number one, are you taking notes? Point number one. Oh, so good. Bold friends, what do? They worship with you in good and bad places. Now, keep that on the screen for me at Minute Park. That's a lot of words, actually. This is one of 8 points. Better space them out properly. Now, there's a beautiful story of this man named Paul and this man named Silas. Fun fact, they're in a prison. Now, in this prison, they're waist deep in poop. Ugh. A BO friend, right? Yeah, they're waist deep in poop. It's around the middle of the night, so it's pitch black. Oh, and they're chained up. Now, what do you think Paul and Silas are doing chained up waist deep in poop in the middle of the night? Celebrating, right? Worshiping. Yeah, okay, Pastor. Yeah, Pastor Dusty. They're worshiping the Lord. Whoa! And what happens as they're worshiping? They begin to sing these beautiful songs of worship. And then the ground begins to shake. The prison gates open. The chains fall off of every single prisoner in the room. And wait, do they all run out? No. They stay put in their prison cell, even though they've been set free. And the guard who's about to take his life for letting all the prisoners out, that Paul says, wait, we're not going anywhere. And he's like, are you serious? And he looks around. All the prisoners are still there. They share Jesus with this man. They pray for the man. He gives his life to the Lord. And then the guy said, hey, can you come talk to my family? And then Paul and Silas lead that man's entire family to Jesus all in one night from what? Worship. Now, do you want to have bold friends who worship with you? Yes, I think that's a requirement. Can I tell you something interesting about this story, though? I highly, highly doubt that was the first time Paul and Silas worshiped together. That was not the first time. They're not like, well, we've tried praying and we've tried reading our Bibles, which haven't been written yet because it's still the New Testament. And I guess we'll just worship as a last case resort. I mean, we've never done that before. I guess we'll just have Kimberly come out and sing and then we'll just kind of like harmonize with her. And if she said raise her hands, I'll go like that and make it work. No. Paul and Silas had a history of worshiping together. Do you want to have somebody who will stand next to you and worship with you when you feel locked up, bound, and struggling? You should probably worship with them before you're ever in that bad place. Bold friends worship with you. Do you make time outside of Wednesdays and Sundays to actually flip on some worship music and worship God with friends nonetheless? Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do that. That's pretty good. It's really quiet. Point number two. You're taking notes. Put it up there for me. Point numero dos, bold friends, what do? They know you and they pray for you. Can I tell you as a pastor, as a leader, as somebody who's in charge every now and again of praying for people? Every Sunday morning, I do altar ministry for adults. And one of the most challenging, most difficult, sometimes I'll be honest, most frustrating things is when somebody comes up and says, I need prayer. And I'm like, for what? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? I don't want to say. How am I supposed to pray for you? Please just do it. And I'm just like, please tell me something to pray about. I don't know. Do you need provision? Do you need healing? I just need prayer. And I'm like, come on, give me something here, people. It is very hard to pray for your friends if you don't know your friends well. And this sounds sad. I mean, we are literally in 2024, and I think the word friend should describe somebody you know well, but in reality, it doesn't anymore. Social media has ruined what I think friendships are. Do you deeply and personally know somebody closely enough to call them a friend and you know what's going on in their life to the point where you know them and you see they're struggling and then you start praying for them? Maybe just maybe you need some friends who do that. You guys are like, yeah, that's us. Well done. Shout out to you guys. Keep doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this story of Peter. He's in prison. This is really sad. All these people are in prison. Peter's in prison, and the church gets word of Peter in prison. And what do? They pray. They pray, and they pray, and they pray, and they say, God, release Peter. God sends an angel, grabs Peter by the hand, walks him out of a prison, pats him on the butt, and says, go home. And then the entire prison system's like, what in the world? Where did Peter go? Peter comes knocking on the door of the people who are praying for him, and they're like, he's like, it's Peter. And the people inside are like, oh my gosh, it must be Peter's ghost. Like, what's going on? This is so weird. They literally said that. Read the story. It's incredible. That must be Peter's ghost. They didn't even believe what they were praying. Like he could actually be free. They were shocked by it. They had more faith that it was Peter's angel than it was Peter. That's a whole nother message. That's going to preach sometime. But they knock and then Peter's like, it's really me. They open up and they start praising God together. You need people who know you and people who pray for you. Point number three. We're moving quickly, guys. This is going to be a fun night. Point number three, you need bold friends. What do bold friends do? They champion you in following the Lord's leading. Now, this is a cool story. I love the Bible. Does anybody else love the Bible? I feel like I could just listen to some, like Morgan Freeman or somebody just read the Bible to me forever. Like, I could just do that. Couldn't you? Like, who would you want somebody to read, like, the Bible to you? Anybody got a person with a soothing voice they can think of? Like, Taylor Swift. Like, no. Like, anybody? Dolly Parton? Dolly Parton? Why Dolly Parton? That's so specific. She loves Dolly Parton. So be it. Wayne Gretzky. I agree better. That'd be very cool.
I said the AI voice on the Holy Bible.
The AI voice on the Holy Bible. Who do you think?
David Attenborough.
Oh, that's a good one. We got. Oh, my wife for the brownie points. Thank you. Point number three. They champion you in the following of the Lord's leading. Someone say Jonathan. Jonathan was going up to check on a battle. Currently, the Israelites, were losing a very big battle. Now, Jonathan had this sense from the Lord. He felt like the Lord told him, hey, Jonathan, I can save by a lot of people or I can save by a few. Why don't you go up and test me and see this and I'll show you that I'll provide. So Jonathan went up and said, hey, armor bearer, guy who carries my shield, my friend, come with me. And he explains, hey, armor bearer, guess what? We're going to call him Bob. Hey, Bob, I felt like the Lord said he can save by a lot of people or he can save by a few. Why don't we be the few, me and you, we go up there and if they say, hey, Jonathan and Bob, come up to us, we're going to go up there and kill them all. Do you want to go? And what do you think Bob says to Jonathan? He says, well, by cracky, let's do it. Let's go for it. And actually, he says, it's a really good verse. I'll pull it up for you. No, for time's sake, I won't read it because it's going to be a long verse. Bob, the armor bearer, says, Jonathan, do all that's in your heart. Okay, point number three was what? No, point number two is that they know you. Point number three is they champion you in following the leading of the Lord. Sometimes I notice when people are following the Lord and I love it. There was somebody earlier who was standing in the booth when you're doing pre-service prayer and worship, and she's like talking about how she's trying to follow the Lord and to get into community. You know what I'm talking about, Kendall? Yeah, it was you. You did a really good job. Kendall was talking to me about how she's trying to follow the Lord's leading and being more connected in community. And she's like, you know, I feel like I've just been serving a lot. And I want to prioritize this and get into the Lord. And she's hearing the Lord, following the Lord, and all I could say was just go do it. Good job. Well done. Follow the Lord. It was amazing. It's everything I want for you to hear from the Lord and to follow it. And you know, it's really good. You should look for friends that'll do this. If you say, hey, friend, I'm feeling like I should go do this and I want to pray for that person inside like Walmart. She looks like she's struggling. She's got a bad back. She's like walking like this. It's not good. I want to pray for her. And MK is like, heck yeah, Matt, let's do it. I'll come with you and we could pray for her together. Whew. Hey. I want to pray for my friend and maybe my teacher at school. I'm really nervous about it. Are you going to come with me? Heck yeah, because that's what bold friends do, right? Amen, son. That's what we do. We champion each other. You encourage somebody, right? Caitlin Dreyer, keep leading worship. You're killing it. You're leading. You're hearing from the Lord. You're being prophetic. You're listening to the voice of God and being obedient. Keep doing it. I love it. We got to keep going. Point number four. Oh gosh, this is so good. Point number four. Bold friends, they don't let you slip away. Okay. Ooh, this is going to hurt somebody's feelings. I can really feel it. It's not good. I'm nervous. Okay. Oh, this is going to suck. Do your friends ever correct you? You're like, yeah, a lot. I'm sorry. If your friend was blindfolded, sprinting off a cliff, would you be like, oh, they're just following their heart, just let them do what they want to do? Or would you stop them? Would you trip them? Would you kick them down and keep them down to prevent them from jumping off the cliff? Would you? Yeah. What just happened? Something happened. I missed it. Did I miss it? Oh my gosh, I'm nervous. Can I just tell you, bold friends keep you from slipping away. There's a story in the Bible of the Apostle Paul coming and correcting Peter in Galatians. You want to read it? It's actually pretty good. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians 2:11. This is Paul writing to the Galatian church, talking about this encounter he had with Peter. He said this, hey, now Galatians, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Hey, I went to LYC and I stood up in front of Dusty and I withstood him because he was to be blamed. Paul's not hiding. He's throwing punches right now. He's saying, hey, Peter, that man was messing up and he was leading people astray. Go next verse for me, verse 12. Ooh, for before, I heard it, I don't know why I said it. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, and when they came, he would withdrew and separate himself, fearing those who were one of the circumcision. Next verse, verse 13. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with Peter, so that even Barnabas, a fellow friend of Paul, was carried away with their hypocrisy. Peter was doing something so bad, not only was he slipping away, he was bringing a ton of people with him. Hey, you said you want to follow Jesus, but you intentionally made sure you went out for a baseball team that only practices on Wednesday nights, and they play games on Sundays. I thought you wanted to like intentionally follow the Lord. Hey, you said you really felt called to like worship. Why do you only listen to like really bad secular music? Do you think that's helping with your heart? Hey, you keep telling me that you're struggling with anxiety, and the Bible, I mean, I don't know. The Bible says guard your heart above all else because everything you do flows from it. Why don't you guard your heart? Why are you still on Instagram and Snapchat? What are you doing? Don't you want to guard your heart and live like a healthy life? Do you have friends who will call you out on that? Because I can tell you, they're so worth it. I'm not where I would be without the people calling me out. You can ask Pastor Brandon. He's done it more than once in my life. Point number, actually, you know what? Let's do this real quick. This is going to really hurt too. You need to find someone in your life you trust more than you. I'm going to say it again so we all get it. You need to find someone in your life that you trust more than yourself. Why? Because deception, right? I'm blind. I don't know what's going on. Deception. The nature of deception is you don't know you're being deceived. And if you are the only person you trust in your life, you're just going to go deception, deception, deception. You're just going to be led astray just like that because you don't trust anyone. You're the highest authority in your life. You know, it's really funny. The other people who did that was Eve in the garden. When she sinned, disobeying God, and Adam followed her, they became their own God. Nobody was more trustworthy than themselves. And that leads to nothing good. Let me just tell you that. Are we doing all right? How are we doing on time, Dusty? Are we doing good? Oh, beautiful. He gives me a thumbs up. I love it. Oh, so good. Point number five. Are we only on point number five? Are we on point number five? Thank you. Point number five. Bold friends, what do? They let you know them. Okay, we're going to get serious for a minute here. Serious. Don't laugh. Don't make jokes. Serious. And you start laughing. Wow. Okay. Don't think of a purple elephant. Purple elephant. Come on, O'Neill. Chocolate milk. We can have fun at church, guys. I know some people are like, this is kind of weird. Like, you can have fun at church. I like to think of this more of a classroom. You raise your hand, you have a question, we talk back and forth, maybe throw a paper ball at someone during, like, you can do that. Point number five, they let you know them. All right, I'm gonna give you an example. Somebody very close to me was struggling to have children. They're married, they wanna have kids, and they've been struggling to have kids. And it hasn't been happening. And they shared with me. They told me about it. And you know what they told me? Matt, we're not bitter. We're not angry with God. We're not frustrated or disappointed. Yeah, we want a kid. But you know what? God has been showing himself so faithful to us. I've never been more in love with God, even though I feel like I've been more defeated when it comes to seeing the thing I really want to happen. God's so good, Matt. He's so worthy of worship, Matt. And they've gone years of trying to have a kid and not having a kid. And the result of them walking and being vulnerable, letting me know who they are and what's going on in them, imprinted on me this thing of like, man, even if my situation's hard, God is so good, isn't he? He's so worthy. He's so loving. He's so kind. Man, why would I? Thank God. If they can do that, man, it gives me strength to be able to walk through my thing, doesn't it? Oh, that's good. Thank you. Thank you for those people. Isaiah 61, if you have your Bible, Isaiah 61, verse 2, there we go. This is the prophet Isaiah coming to proclaim a good word. He says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn. I love comforting mourning people. Next verse, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. Catch this, my favorite verse in the Bible. To give them beauty for, say it. Okay, we're going to try that again. I'm going to say the first part. You say the second part. To give them beauty for?
Ashes.
Oil of joy for?
Morning.
Garment of praise for the spirit of?
Heaviness.
Okay, here's this crazy thing, right? I did this with our pre-service prayer group. I need somebody who has something they want to trade. Anybody want to trade something? Get up here. Come on, Gallo. Now, there's a simple rule with this trade here. Come up. Face across me here. It's like we're about to fight or something. To give them beauty for ashes. Do you hear that? For ashes. I'll give you my keys for your lanyard. Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay, trade. Boom. Now I'll give you my Bible for those keys. Okay, trade. All right. Now I'll give you the opportunity to lay my Bible down and go sit back down if you want.
Sounds good.
Good deal. Thank you very much. You can take the lanyard too. Now, what happened? I know this sounds goofy. That's a dumb example. What happened? There was an exchange of goods, a good for a bad, actually. You have to recognize you have ashes in order to exchange them for beauty. Okay, I'm going to say it again. You have to recognize there's some areas in my life that aren't as great as I want them to be, and you have to own it. I'm really disappointed that things aren't working the way I want them to. Okay, great. Acknowledge that and say, God, will you exchange that for beauty? Will you exchange me being exhausted and feeling sad and feeling exhausted? Would you change that? I would like joy instead. I would like praise instead. And you know what bold friends do? When you let them in, when you see how they're walking, you actually get to learn from them exchanging their heaviness for joy, exchanging their ashes for beauty. And it teaches you how to do a really hard thing. Because let me be honest with you. Exchanging beauty for ashes sometimes is really hard because it's hard to admit you have something going on. Come up if you need prayer for anxiety. Nobody's going to come up right away because nobody wants to admit it, right? Nobody wants to come up and be like, yeah, that's me. I'm struggling. Guess what, everyone? Everybody's struggling with something. We're people. We're humans. If you can confess, if you can be vulnerable with somebody, you'll grow so much bolder. That's so good. Point number six. We got to go a little bit quicker here. I'm sorry. Point number six. What do bold friends do? They don't let fear rule the day. Someone say, Dusty.
Dusty
is the man with the plan. And one of my favorite memories of Dusty sharing his boldness with me was when he first opened up his jewelry store. Do you know what I'm going to talk about? Good. I didn't talk to you about this. I'm just assuming you're okay with me telling this. But Dusty was opening up his jewelry store. He'd been working, grinding at the Watch Doctor for years now. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to go step out and do my own thing. Bye, Watch Doctor. That's exactly how it went. He put his resignation slap down and moonwalked out of there. It was amazing. Now, he definitely didn't do that. the picture of you doing that, though, is funny. Dusty opened up a jewelry store, and in the process of opening up the jewelry store, Dusty was telling me, he's like, yeah, you know, I feel like every time fear is coming up in my life, I try to do the opposite of it. Do you remember that? It was really good. It really messed me up in a good way. He was telling me, and I'll just say in general, when you let fear make your decisions, it usually ends up really bad. Don't let fear win. Bold friends will help you not let fear win. There's a story of this guy named Caleb and Joshua. They're scouting out the promised land for Moses. Excuse me, I'm burping so much today. It's so gross, I'm sorry. They're scoping out the promised land. 10 other spies are looking too. The 10 other spies are like, guys, we can't do it. The promised land has these big giant guys. They're really huge. They're buff. They look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like Sebastian. They're just like, yoked. He's going to like that when he listens to the podcast. They're just like, oh, swollen, monstrous. We can't do it. We look like grasshoppers to them is what they said. And then Caleb and Joshua get up and they're like, guys, we're children of God. Do you not remember that like 40 days ago, like our God literally split an entire sea in half so we could walk through it? Do you not remember that our God literally guides us by day with a pillar, with a huge cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire? Do you not remember that our God literally feeds us from the sky? Bread drops down like a little cinnamon roll, that's what I'm thinking of. A little cinnabon drops from the sky, plop, exactly what I need. Why are we afraid of man? Don't you guys remember who we are, who God is to us, who he is through us, what he can do in our, oh my, come on, guys. And unfortunately, those people didn't listen. And what happened? Where they were literally at the door of the promised land, they ended up spending 40 years wandering instead of going into the promised land. Maybe, just maybe, if you had bold friends in your life, you would actually walk in the promises of God quicker. The thing you've been praying and longing for, maybe because you've been listening to the people who have fear in their heart, fear in their mind, and fear in their mouth. They're just talking about, I'm so worried about everything. Oh my gosh, man. Like, I can't do this. This is intense. Oh my gosh. Maybe, just maybe, if you hung out with somebody who had some faith, some boldness, you might just enter the promised land a little bit faster. Whew, I like that. And can I just say something real quick? I just want to apologize. Being bold is not about not being afraid. It's just not letting fear make the decision. You can be afraid and still do awesome things for God. I'll tell you what, I'm sometimes afraid to get up here and preach when I see all you guys just like staring at me like I'm like a zombie of your... Like, laugh at me. Like, oh my gosh, it terrifies me. I'm like, are you alive? Did you just, something, are you broccoli? Like, you look like a vegetable, truthfully. Like, sometimes it's just tough. I'm afraid. I'm like, oh my God, do I gotta pray for, did he just die? Is he awake? Like, sometimes I'm afraid, joking aside, sometimes I'm afraid, but obedience overrides fear and gives you boldness. A lot of people say, when I'm not afraid, then I'll be bold. Here's the kicker, though. You usually become unafraid after you've been bold and obedient. I'm going to say it again. A lot of people are like, when I'm not afraid, then I'll be bold. Actually, someone say actually. Actually, you get unafraid when you're obedient to God. Then fear, you lose fear on the other side of obedience. You lose fear on the other side of being obedient to God. That's really good. Forgive me. And then this is just a nugget. Like, I just want to share this with you because it's really good. Philippians 1:28. Put it up on the screen for me. Philippians 1:28. This is just so cool. I remember as a kid, there was my second cousin. His name is Jonathan. We were both just like hanging out. I just moved here to the Carolinas. And we're just like, he's laying on his little like twin bed. I'm laying on my twin bed. And he's like, Matt, you want to stomp on the devil tonight? And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Like, of course. And I'm just like in my bed, just like kicking my feet at the bottom of the bed. He starts praying and I'm like, oh gosh, like I guess I don't know what I'm talking about here, right? Like that's literally that happened. Here's something so cool. If you ever want to just like kick the enemy and just let him know like God's a winner and you're a winner with him, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemy. Hey, catch this. Don't be afraid of Satan, the demons, the devils, evil coworkers. Don't be afraid. Guess what? Because when you're not afraid, it'll be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed. Oh, that's so good. You guys missed it. We're going to say it again. Maybe I'll come over here. Maybe this will help you understand it better. Don't be intimidated or afraid of your enemies, right? When you do that, this will be a sign to them that they're destroyed. They're doomed. It's never going to work. When you stand up and you're bold in your school, it just reminds Satan, man, I'm doomed. I'm never going to win. This is a lost cause. Why am I trying to go after him? He's never gonna cave. She's never gonna give up. She's bold. She's fearless. And guess what? It reminds the enemy he's doomed. It also reminds you you're saved. It's a great reminder. When you walk in fearlessness, when you walk in boldness, you just kick the enemy's butt and you remind yourself, I'm on top of the world. I love it. It's really good. Point number 7, you got your notes. What do bold friends do? They remind you of your prophecies. Now, prophecies is a big biblical church word that maybe not everyone in the room gets, so I'm going to define it real quick. Prophecies. It's simply God speaking to you to encourage you, to comfort you, to give you direction in life. Sometimes prophecies tell the future, like Jesus is coming back. That's telling of a future time, right? It's pretty simple. It's not that crazy. Then there's another time where prophecy, when God speaks, it actually makes a future, creates something. Like Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones, come alive. And he says, okay, dry bone, come alive. And the dry bones literally create and form humans again. Sometimes that's that. Sometimes that. We're not going to get into prophecy tonight. Your friends remind you of what God's spoken over your life. They just do. Kimberly and I, in our house, we have this poster. It says our dreams on it. It's a big old white poster board. And it actually has a lot of the prophetic words that God has spoken to us personally, us as a married couple, but really us individually. And every now and again, I'll walk by and I'm like, hey, Kimberly, how are you doing at being like a worship leader? You feel called to that. How are you, are you waging a good fight with that? Hey, you feel called to write music, Kimberly. Are you writing music? You know, you're called to that. You're gifted in it. Why are you worried about what people think? You're going to be amazing at it. And we start going to war with it because I know her prophetic words. I know what God's spoken to her. I love giving prophetic words to people. I don't know if you've been here for any number of weeks. You'll know I love talking to people about what Jesus is saying, right? Can anybody in the room, can anybody agree with that? Has anybody received a word from me? I just come up to you. I'm like, I feel like the Lord's telling me something. A few people, that's fine. Guys, what pains me so deeply is when God speaks to you and I remember it better than you. It just blows my mind. You come up to me at camp, you're like, man, God saved me. He called me to be a pastor, praise the Lord. Always crying. Nobody ever comes up to me not crying at camp. That's just a fact. Matt, and they're crying. I feel called to be a pastor. The next Wednesday after camp, I'm like, hey, man, how's it like? What does it feel like being called a pastor? What are you talking about? What do you mean? What am I talking about? You were called. What happened? Literally, not even like 4 days later, people forget. Get friends around you who, again, remember, friends, bold friends, they know you, who know what God's speaking over your life, and they hold you accountable. Paul, I preached this 2 weeks ago, but Paul did that to Timothy. Paul, this established leader in the church, is helping a young pastor named Timothy. He says, hey, Timothy, you remember when we prayed for you and like we were hearing from the Lord and we shared what God was saying to us and we were like, yeah, you're an anointed leader. You're called by God. Hey, don't forget that and keep fighting with that. Pray about that. And then he pats him on the butt, sends him off to go pastor a church. We need people who remember what God's spoken about each other. And if you don't have something that God's spoken to you, let me be a friend. Come talk to me. Come talk to a leader. We can hear from the Lord, and you can too. Point number 8. Oh, so good. Point number 8. We'll end right here. Bold friends, what do? They help you see clearly. Oh, my favorite story in the Bible. I have a lot of those. I'm kind of a liar in that way. So many stories are my favorite. It's Elisha. Someone say Shah. Shah, not Jah. Shah, Elisha. Elisha is sitting in this what feels like a tall building. It's a tall, not a castle. I mean, it's old times, like 2,000 years ago. It's like more than 3,000 years ago. Elisha is sitting in this high up building with his servant. Now, his servant, because he's a good servant, wakes up earlier in the morning than Elisha. He's walks to the window and looks out the window. And what does he see? Not one, not two, not three, but four armies surrounding the building ready to kill them. Okay, that's a tough situation. I mean, that's not ideal. He starts, oh my God, oh my gosh, Elisha, we're going to die. This is going to be crazy. He's just freaking out, right? It's like my little dog Biscuit. I want a pony. He's losing his beans. He is freaking out, man. I'm freaking out. Like Kramer. None of you get that. It's okay. He's freaking out, and his master, Elisha, the prophet, says, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, he says this. Hey, don't worry. Hey, Elisha says to his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha's servant looks around and is like, there's like 100,000 of them, and there's two of us. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. That makes no sense. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, someone say behold. That's so weak. Come on, behold. Like literally, like Jesus walking down the street and you see Jesus and you look to the ground and you say, behold, like behold, come on. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Oh, all around Elisha. They looked, and all around the armies that are surrounding them is this beautiful army of fire. And guess what happens? God blinds all of these four armies completely. Elisha walks down. He says, hey, what do you guys do? Again, they're blind. He walks up and says, hey, what are you doing? He said, we're looking for Elisha. And Elisha's like, okay, let me show you to him. He grabs him by the hand and walks the four armies to another city. Says, okay, good luck finding him. Elisha leaves, and then God unblinds them all. And they're like, where are we? And they're all confused. Whoa, what if we had friends who would actually help us see our situations rightly? I'm really bad at this. Kimberly tries. I'm kind of a butt. I'm not going to lie. Kimberly tries this with me. Matt, why are you worried about this? God's always provided. I know, but my job's not providing for me right now. I need to make a sale. The lady, she wanted to buy a sunroom, but her credit was horrible, so she didn't get to call. She didn't get approved for it. I'm really worried. And Kimberly's like, Matt, has God ever not provided for you? No. Okay, then why would he stop? I mean, you're right, but I'm just so No. She hits me. She doesn't. It's okay. It's a joke. So inappropriate. I'm sorry. She lovingly hugs me. But can we be friends who do that for each other? Hey, I know you're seeing this situation this way, Hope. I know you're seeing it this way. But believe me, God has a plan. Let me just pray for you. Hey, did you notice? Think about this situation. You're worried about that. Do you remember when God did this for these people and then he provided? And that's exactly what you're doing right now. God can do that. Hey, you're dealing, you have someone in your family who's struggling with like cancer. Hey, do you remember when this person got healed of cancer miraculously? Oh my gosh, it was crazy. Oh, wait, you did too. We have two people in our community who've been healed of cancer miraculously. Did you remember that? And you start giving them a godly perspective that helps them see clearly. Oh my gosh, favorite story, and then we're done. We'll pray us out and then we'll maybe just call it a night. This pastor friend of mine, he was at a church. He was laying down in bed. He was supposed to be speaking the next morning. And it's probably like 11 o'clock at night. He lays down in bed. He's all comfy and cozy. He hits the lights and he's laying there for a little bit. He's not falling asleep. And he looks up and he sees a demon in his bedroom. Just a full-blown, just a demon, shadowy creature demon. And he starts praying. He's like, oh, Lord, Shundanai. He starts speaking in tongues. It's about literally 11 o'clock, midnight, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He is praying to get this demon out of his room, right? Just praying. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the cross. And just calling down heaven in that room all night long. 6 a.m. rolls around. The sun begins to bleed over the horizon, casting light into the window, and he realized the demon was just a coat on a chair. He spent hours in the night praying and going to war and fighting and he's all exhausted the next morning. He's supposed to speak all because he didn't see clearly what was in front of him. Oh, how many people of, it's funny, how many of us are fighting really hard against an enemy that's not present? How many of us are fighting really hard when the solution is turn the lights on and go back to sleep? We need friends who see things clearly to help us see things clearly so that we can be bold and not be up all night praying against the jacket on the chair, right? Be a bold friend, find bold friends, all right? Sound good? Lord, we love you. We thank you for tonight, God. We ask that you would pour out your spirit on every single one of these young men and women. And God, I pray you'd help us to be bold. And even more than that, God, I pray you'd help us to find good, godly, bold friends, Jesus. I pray for the Jonathans to meet up with the Davids. We pray for the armor bearers to find the Jonathans. We pray for the Calebs and the Joshuas to come out of the woodworks and for us to walk in bold community and bold faith in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.